requests are not heard, error will spread from an atheist Russia throughout the entire world, fomenting further wars, the good will be persecuted, the Holy Father will suffer much, and several entire nations will be annihilated. But if my requests are heard, Russia will be converted, and an era of peace will be granted to mankind. There's no mention of communism. There's no mention of Russia needing conversion more than some other nation. It is a prophecy that Russia will be an instrument to punish the world. Error will spread if men do not mend their lives, if men do not stop offending God, who was so much offended, her very words, the climax of her apparitions. Error will spread from an atheist Russia. Now that began in 1917. It's been going on for 70 years. The next question. In your capacity as an international officer of the World Apostolate of Fatima, how do you assess its strength and how far does it extend? The Blue Army, the World Apostolate of Fatima, as the Holy See prefers it be called, is now active in 110 nations. It has a secretariat in Switzerland, in Fribourg. It has its international center, international headquarters at Fatima. And it is most active, perhaps most effectively active, in Korea, in Vietnam, in countries which are face-to-face with the struggle against that militant atheistic force that came out of Russia and tries to destroy religion and belief in God. It is also strong in the United States, I think, because it was founded there and because we have marvelous means of communication. Our magazine, our Soul magazine, which has been operative for 37 years, has 1 million readers, perhaps the most widely read Catholic magazine in the United States. And yet, it deals entirely with the message of Fatima, updating constantly this vibrant message of Our Lady, which, as the Pope said last year, is more urgent now than ever. As to how to measure the power of this apostolate after 70 years, perhaps Father Pio gave us the way of measuring it when he said, Russia will be converted when there is a Blue Army member for every communist. It's very encouraging to hear from Mr. D that in 1 year here in the Philippines, 1 million pledges were signed. But I think it's more encouraging to know that there is a greater in-depth awareness that this is a message of holiness. That what Our Lady is asking of her children is the sanctification of their day, the use of her simple devotions of consecration and prayer, the rosary and the scapular, that she may make them holier. And what I see as most encouraging is the fact that in our apostolate in 1960, there began the all-night vigil movement with one of the leaders of our apostolate in England. And that movement of all-night vigils has spread all over the world. Today, there are tens of thousands in the United States who make the vigils from the evening of the first Friday to the morning of the first Saturday, the whole night in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. I'm often amazed. We have a shrine in our national center in the United States, and I'm often amazed at the distances people travel to come to those vigils, and after spending the whole night in prayer, traveling back again, some of them going back to work all day. This is, to me, the most encouraging aspect of our apostolate, that it is growing in depth, that the prayers that have already been said are increasing the holiness of our people, and that is the ultimate answer. That gives Our Lady the leverage she needs to keep her great promise of the conversion of Russia. Now, you seem preoccupied because most of the questions address this about Russia and why Russia is named. Do you think that perhaps Russia is a symbolism to some extent in this great wave of evil over the world? Certainly, I see in our own nation as far more threatening than the atheism, the doctrines of atheism out of Russia. I see pornography, the abuse of drugs, this tidal wave of evil that engulfs our youth as far more threatening than this militant atheism of which Our Lady spoke in 1917. Of course, if we had Our Lady's viewpoint, perhaps we would see in some way that it was out of that militant atheism that was projecting itself as a world revolution that we have the tidal wave of evil. Perhaps that, I'm not contending this, I'm saying that perhaps this tidal wave of evil has been fostered in the world by a militantly atheistic power that knew that if it could soften the moral fiber of the rest of the world, it would speed its goal of world domination. Whatever the explanation, we simply know that Our Lady has told us that the sign of the triumph of her heart will be the conversion of Russia. I, of course, you know that this is linked with the collegial consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart. It's a very, very interesting question, and I'm sorry we don't have time to deal with it. Now, another question that was asked, and I think it's very relevant, because there's so much ignorance. Oh, when you leave this conference, if it has done anything for you, I hope that it has awakened your realization to the fact that you know so little about the Alliance of the Hearts of Jesus and Mary. This aspect of our faith, this dimension of theology and Mariology, has been neglected. And it is very important. Now, you can't minimize private revelations and say, oh, they're only private revelations. God is speaking to the world in a very dramatic way. Cardinal Ratzinger has said that a sign of our times are the multiplicity of apparitions of Our Lady all over the world. As Bishop Luna said, she is an anxious mother coming to the world, anxious to save her children. We have to respond to her tears, and we have to hear her voice. And we have to inform ourselves, why did she hold the scapular out of the sky? Why did she say the rosary every day? Why? Why is that devotion important? What magic does it work in lives? Find out. I haven't time to explain it. None of the other speakers have time to explain it. This is an opening of a crack in the door. And it's up to each one of us to open the door and inform ourselves. Now, on this one question I was asked, Sister Lucia said the rosary and scapular are inseparable. What did she mean? I'm afraid we'd have to ask Sister exactly what she meant. But I can surmise. She undoubtedly knew, I know she knew, of the prophecy of St. Dominic. St. Dominic and St. Francis of Assisi and St. Angelus, he was a martyr, and but very greatly known speaker at the time, eternally, 13th century. The three saints met on a street corner in Rome, and their followers recorded the conversation. And St. Dominic prophesied to St. Francis, St. Francis prophesied to St. Dominic that Our Lady was going to give him a devotion to be known as the Rosary, and was going to give to the Carmelites, that was St. Angelus, a scapular. And St. Dominic said, and one day through the Rosary and the scapular, she will save the world.
Now, that prophecy was recorded at the time, and there's a chapel in Rome commemorating the meeting, to this day, commemorating the meeting of the three saints. But this is, something that history is not that documented from that period. But we've known of this prophecy for years, and it didn't make any sense. I didn't believe it when I read it first, and I read it in the medieval Latin book when I was doing some research in college almost 50 years ago. I didn't believe it until Our Lady appeared at Fatima, asking us to say the rosary and holding the scapular out of the sky and saying, "If my requests are heard, Russia will be converted, and an era of peace will be granted to mankind." Father O'Carroll brought out that the devotion to the hearts of Jesus and Mary began in the church with an apparition to Saint Mechtild of Helfta in 1250. And the saints saw a link from the heart of Jesus going through the heart of Mary, through the sisters, and back into the heart of Jesus. Within 12 months of that vision, Our Lady appeared to Saint Simon Stock with the scapular. And this scapular is a link from the heart of Jesus through the heart of Mary and back to the heart of Jesus. It's difficult to overestimate the importance of this sacramental, which is often called Our Lady's Sacrament. It's a continual prayer. Saint John of the Cross, who was one of the greatest mystics of the church, and certainly one of the greatest authorities on mysticism, doctor to the church, a doctor of mysticism. When he received the scapular, the saint exclaimed, "Oh, I wish to practice all the virtues of which this holy habit is the symbol." And the saint says that at the moment he spoke those words, he had a mystical understanding of the depths of the heart of Jesus. Now, let me repeat this. Now, this is not just any saint, although it would be a marvelous statement from any saint. This is Saint John of the Cross, who wrote the Ascent of Carmel. "When I received this habit, I expressed the wish to practice all the virtues of which it symbolizes. And at that moment, Jesus gave me an ineffable understanding of the depths of the love of his Sacred Heart." We come to Jesus intimately through the mysteries of his life, and they are all contained in the rosary. Leo XIII, who wrote an encyclical every year of his pontificate on the rosary, if only he had been obeyed, if only all those encyclicals launched at the church year after year before the turn of the century, if the church had listened, would we have had the Second World War? Would we have had the First? Pope after pope after pope has called for the rosary. And have we listened? Have we tried to find out why? The answer is in these mysteries. Leo XIII said, "The 15 mysteries of the rosary comprise all the essential mysteries of Christianity." And those mysteries have to become a part of us. And that's why Mary gives us the rosary. She wants to make those mysteries a part of us. And the scapular gives us her presence. And when we are aware of the fact that Mary's with us, and we enter into those mysteries, praying those Hail Marys, thinking of the mysteries, she changes our hearts. She unites our hearts with hers in the heart of Jesus.
Some questions here about the scapular. One said, "I'm not quite clear as to why the miraculous medal cannot replace the scapular, since the miraculous medal is also a sign of consecration to Jesus through Mary." Something's very evident from the questions you've asked. That is, that there's a great deal, I was going to use the word ignorance, but there's a great lack of knowledge of what these devotions are. There's a lack of knowledge, for instance, about what the rosary is. If anyone can wonder whether you should say the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It's very important to study these devotions. They've been neglected. After all, they're just devotions, right? And we have the sacraments to study, and we have, when we get to theology, all the heresies to study. But there is a great deal of a lack of knowledge. And it's necessary to study these devotions. They're so important. These two devotions, the scapular and the rosary, have been in the church for 700 years. They are the most indulgent and encouraged devotions in the Catholic Church. And now Our Lady, not just in the Fatima apparition, but in repeated apparitions, has called our attention to these special gifts that she gives to the world. When she says you must say the rosary, and she indicates to say it properly, it's a challenge to us to understand the devotion. Now, I didn't speak about it at length, but the best way to understand the rosary is to understand how to use the mysteries. John the 23rd said the whole 15 decades every day. I know one particular time I wanted to get an audience with the Holy Father, and I was a friend of Cardinal Tisson. The Cardinal said, well, you can have 15 minutes of my time. I'm seeing him at noon. And the people I wanted to get the audience for were traveling in Rome, so the Cardinal loaned me his car and I went looking for them. When I came back, the 15 minutes were over. They said, well, no one can see the Pope now. He's saying the rosary. He said, now, some people say, I don't have time. He said, the 15 decades every day, the Pope of the Council. You know, when he got to the end of his life, he was examining his conscience in this story of a soul. And he had begun, when he was a seminarian, to say the first decade of the rosary for the virtue of purity. Then, as he got on in his life, he began to say the whole rosary, the whole 15 decades. You know the question he asked himself when he was 80 years of age? This man who had been the Cardinal of Venice, he had been the nuncio in Paris, two of the most sensual cities in the world. Examining his conscience, have I ever committed a sin against purity? No, never, thanks to the grace of God, thanks to the rosary. But you have to understand it. He only wrote about three or four encyclicals. Father Carroll, how many encyclicals did John the 23rd write? Only a couple. But one of them was on the rosary. And what was it? Set of meditations. Mater Regum Torus. If you analyze it, Mater Regum Torus is a synthesis of the Pope's meditations on the rosary. I marked down in the columns, and there was only one mystery missing. Then all exactly in sequence. But the whole Mater Regum Torus is a set of meditations on the mysteries of the rosary. The Pope's rosary. It's important. Now, is the miraculous medal as important as the scapular? They're different. I've been to the Rue du Bac so many times. I think it's one of the holiest, most precious places, most intimate places of meeting Our Lady in the world. And the miraculous medal is the story of Ratisbon. How many times I've gone to that place in Rome where Our Lady appeared as she was in the miraculous medal and converted this great Jew. It's a tremendous devotion. But these are different things. The scapular of Mount Carmel is Our Lady's sign of alliance with the people of God. It's not a Carmelite devotion. And essentially, Mount Carmel stands for the people of Mary as Israel stands for the people of God. There's a lot to know about it. We should wear the miraculous medal and the scapular. Now, those who are Dominicans and Franciscans, the scapular medal is a valid substitute for the brown scapular. There are 18 scapulars. And the scapular medal is a valid substitute for them all. Incidentally, if you talk about the alliance of the two hearts, the scapular medal must have on its principal side an image of the Sacred Heart, and on the obverse side an image of Our Lady. Otherwise, it's not a valid scapular medal. Scapular medal must always be blessed, and it can replace any of the scapulars, and it carries all the indulgences and privileges of all the scapulars, including the Sabbatine privilege of the scapular of Mount Carmel. However, the scapular medal should not be substituted for the brown scapular of Mount Carmel without a good reason. When St. Pius X gave the scapular medal, he said that he desired, well, the decree reads, vehementer exopte. The Holy Father vehemently wishes that the scapular be worn in its traditional form. In other words, there should be, as the way Vermeersch interpreted, he was the closest one to the Pope in those things at that time, was there should be a serious reason for the substitution in the case of the scapular, of the brown scapular. Now, those of you who are wearing a Third Order Dominicans, wear the scapular medal with your Third Order scapular. Same with Franciscans. That's the purpose of the medal, that we don't have to wear too many, and we get all the same privileges and indulgences. How can I become a member of the Blue Army? All you have to do is promise that you will say the morning offering, wear the scapular, and say the rosary, and that you will try to renew your morning offering in times of temptation. That's the Blue Army pledge. When you sign the pledge, your name is taken to Fatima and buried there, together with the some 25 million others who have made this pledge around the world. You don't have to do that. You don't have to have your name buried. There are no dues, no collections, no memberships in that type. But still, when you sign your name, you are committing yourself, not under sin, not binding under sin, but you're making a promise. You should take it seriously. Now, do you have to say the whole rosary every day? Please say at least 5 decades of the rosary a day. But you aren't bound to say the whole rosary a day. But when you see Our Lady pleading with the children of Fatima, saying over and over, say the rosary, you must say the rosary, then how can you refuse? Can anybody just wear the scapular? What are the prerequisites? Anybody can be enrolled in the scapular, provided, of course, they believe and understand what it is. You have to be enrolled by a priest who has the faculty, and then once you are enrolled, you can renew the scapular without even having it blessed. When you are enrolled, when the scapular is like a religious habit, and when you are enrolled in the scapular, you enter this family of Mary, and the scapular is a profession of your membership. It isn't like some kind of a talisman. It's just like the religious habit. It's a profession of what you are. It's a profession that I belong to Mary in a special way, and she belongs to me in a special way. I think I mentioned it's okay to wear the scapular medal, but you should wear the brown scapular unless there's a good reason. Scapular can be covered with plastic. There are quite a few other questions, but I find one here that I find particularly intriguing. I'm going to close by answering that one question. Is the scapular a sign of both hearts? In 1876, Our Lady appeared to a woman who was terminally ill. She was going to die within a couple of days. And she had two relatives for whom she was very concerned. She was only a servant, but from her salary, she was helping to support two relatives. And suddenly, she wasn't actually the death agony, but she was approaching it. The devil appeared at her foot of her bed. And the poor woman was terrified, and she pulled the blankets back and scrunched up at the end of the bed, terrified. Suddenly, Our Lady stood at her bedside and said to Satan, "What are you doing here? Don't you see that she's wearing my livery?" Stella was wearing the brown scapular. And as Satan withdrew, he dragged the bed, and the girl was still terrified. And Our Lady said that she would either die shortly or she was going to be cured. Our Lady chose this for a special revelation concerning her scapular. The girl was cured, and the miracle was attested, certified, miraculous by the Church. And the apparitions were recognized by Pope Leo XIII. And there were a series of apparitions up to the moment of the girl's cure. Our Lady came back to her the next day. You know, Estelle was wearing a brown scapular, right? Our Lady appeared with a scapular. The panel was white. And Our Lady beckoned Estelle to get out of her deathbed and come and kiss her scapular. And as Estelle approached, the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus appeared on the white panel of the scapular Our Lady was wearing. And as Estelle bent over and kissed, as Our Lady insisted that she do, bent over and kissed the scapular with the image of the Sacred Heart, she experienced the pulsating heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary beating beneath. And the Pope authorized the use of these pictures on the scapular. And it's amazing.
Outstanding scholar in Mariology, one of the great servants of the Catholic Church, one of the outstanding apostles of Our Lady in modern times, Canon René Laurentin.
It would be more correct to say we should pray and do acts of charity not only for the conversion of Russia, but for the conversion of the superpowers.
Yes, I think we can. We can pray for the conversion of everyone, the superpowers, but the other also. You can pray for the conversion of France, who needs a lot, with good, very beautiful lights, but in the mass, something going down always. Growing elites and other going down. I think the material. Where is the most grave materialization? I don't know if the biggest materialization is among Russia, which is theoretically materialist, or in America, where it is another type of materialization without theory but practical. It is a great problem, and God alone knows where is materialization in our heart and in our city and in our communities. But if we have to pray more specially for Russia, and especially this year, this Marian year, you know probably that the Pope, who had refused to do a Marian year some years ago, did this Marian year because it was the millenary of Russia, and to pray because it is an historical moment for Russia, and to pray not perhaps because she needs more, because there are more Christians who are persecuted, who are in state of asphyxia, because the big problem is if in America it is freedom, in Russia it's not freedom, and we have to pray for this freedom. You know what is the conquest of freedom here, and Russia has the conquest of freedom and a religious freedom to do, and it is a great necessity of prayer. And the people who is in prison in Russia, in all psychiatric hospital, knows that, and we have a lot to do, specially for this brother. I should have a lot to do to tell about that, but I have 18 minutes.
If Our Lady is asking the Pope to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart, what is stopping the Pope from doing it?
I don't know if the Pope was stopped, but eight times the Pope did this consecration in different manner and in all the possible manners. For example, the first consecration by Pius XII in 1942, he did the consecration of the world, and in this moment, according what had written Lucia, and especially the country who had more necessity of that, this country where secretly icons are conserved, it was Russia was clearly designated. And as Lucia perhaps thought it was not sufficient, 10 years later, in 1952, explicitly he consecrated Russia. For the Pope John Paul II, when he went in Fatima, May 13, 1982, he did a consecration like Pius XII the first time, of the world, and especially of this country, and he gave a little description of Russia, and after he stopped during 3 or 4 seconds, I don't remember exactly, I don't know. And during this time, he named before God the Russia. I think it's made, but after only he could speak to Lucia. And when he spoke to her, probably she was not glad of everything, and he had a scruple, and for this reason, twice he did again the consecration with the synod of the bishop, and the last time when you did hear the March 24, 84, and with participation of all the bishops. If something is sufficient, it is not sufficient, I think it's not the fact of the Pope. It could be the fact that in many countries the bishop said, what is this consecration for us? It's not so good, not enough theological, and it was not really made in many countries as it was made in your country. And perhaps the Pope perceives that, but he thinks that in this matter of freedom, because consecration, apparition are matter of freedom, he want not give an order to the bishop. Pope Pius XII was more authoritarian, gave an order to the bishop to give the consecration. John Paul II invited them to do that. I think we are the one who can give the order, not only to the bishop, but to everyone between ourselves, is the Holy Spirit, and we have to pray for that, and for a last, more efficacious consecration of all the world, and especially of Russia, to obtain this conversion in the hour where in Russia they speak of transparency. It is possible for men, for politics not, with prayer and the Holy Spirit, as you gave proof here, it's possible, and we have to pray a lot for that.
First speaker to answer questions is Monsignor Luciano Guerra, rector of the Shrine of Fatima.
My first two questions are not difficult to be answered because Mr. John Harford has already answered. They are about the conversion consecration of Russia. Why is it that the consecration of Russia with all the bishops of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as requested in the apparition at Fatima, not yet done? What I know is the fact that it was the world that was consecrated and not specifically the country mentioned above. When in 1982 the Holy Father finished the ceremonies at Fatima, they have a lunch, and then after the lunch the bishop told to him, thank you Holy Father, as you have made the consecration of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and Father joined, and Russia. But he has not named publicly Russia, but he has perhaps mentioned, because she has told, and I consecrate to you also, especially those countries that are most needed of your consecration, of been consecrated to you. It was the formula he found, I think, to consecrate Russia and the communist countries. Why are not bishops of the world consecrated? We don't know if they have done the consecration with the Pope, because we have not asked the bishops if they have done the consecration. the Holy Father wrote to the bishops, invited them to be united with him, and saying he was united with them in that act of consecration. So it's possible that some of them have not consecrated, but it's also possible that many, many of them have consecrated. Now, why not, if they not? It's the mystery of the Church, which is compound of men who have their resistance of understanding and perhaps of hearts also to the Word of God, and they don't understand some things. Certainly this is the reason, because we don't consecrate ourselves, we who are here at that moment. Are we really consecrated, really, in the entirety of the consecration, even the priests and the sisters who are here? We name ourselves as consecrated, and all the baptized people are consecrated, have been consecrated by God, yes, but by ourselves. It's our permanent resistance, so it's not scandalous if some bishops resist to make a consecration that perhaps they don't understand very well for the moment. It's the pilgrimage of the Church, and perhaps this is all necessary that we can understand what the consecration is. If the Pope had consecrated the Russia a day after Lucia had written to him, perhaps we would not meditate about consecration as we are doing now. God knows it. Was there anything mentioned about consecration of the Protestants, non-Catholics, born again or charismatic, and the like, aside from Russia? Why very specific to Russians only? Mr. John Hartfield has responded. Yes, Russia is a symbol, certainly. It's a symbol of this modern world who has gone to the point of reject God. The most far point the man can reach in his thought and his will, his heart, is to reject God, because that is to reject his source, to reject the beginning of his life. But modern man has arrived there, and has arrived there with a program, with a systematic program, and the country which embodied this systematic program was Russia. It could be another, it was Russia. But not only Russia, so Vienna. We know that this program went over the world. China, in Africa, many, many countries were taken by this movement, and really, the movement was radical. We know that it is very radical. It was very radical. No God, no religion, no signs of God, no houses of God, nothing, absolute nothing that can remind men that God is something. This was the program. And they have began to realize this program. So that is perhaps the reason why Our Lady mentioned Russia. But in this Russia, perhaps some of us is or was also there. Because we also, perhaps we are not atheistic, but we also, some of us, are idolaters. Yes, the people of God was sometimes idolaters. We have our gods besides God. And when we have our gods besides God, we are on the way to be atheistic, to become atheistic. So the consecration, when one consecrates one nation, it was said also by Father Laurentin so beautifully, it's necessary, first of all, to consecrate himself as Christ made. This is the explanation, the very beautiful explanation of Pope Paul II, John II in Fatima. I consecrate myself, that is, I receive, I accept the consecration that God made of myself, and in this consecration, as I try to identify myself with the will of God, and the will of God is a will of universal salvation for all men, then in my consecration, I try to consecrate, that is, to save all men, and naturally, especially those who at this moment most need of consecration. And so we were saved, Christ, and we must come always to the fundamental truths of our faith, which are not the private apparitions or private messages. These are only to remind us of the fundamental events of our salvation. Christ offered himself, consecrated himself for the world, for the whole world, for all men and women of all times, and in this consecration he made what he could make for the salvation of all men. So when we consecrate someone to Lord, we imitate the Lord, we identify us with Christ Redeemer, and we want to be as Redeemer as he was. So we consecrate the whole world to Lord. But specifically, in a moment, a precise moment of the history, we and God, we can name some persons or some nations that we think are most needed of being consecrated.
Our final hymn is Isang Pagkain, Isang Katawan, Isang Bansa.
Isang ba